Hello and welcome to this third video in the series of developing web applications with ASP.NET 4.5 using web forms. Today we're going to be building out the database access layer for our web application, and we're going to be doing that by using Entity Framework. Entity Framework is an object relational mapper that enables .NET developers to work with relational data using objects instead of SQL queries, as we did before in previous versions of ASP.NET. Entity Framework first became available with the release of the .NET Framework 3.5 and then gradually evolved to its current version at the time of the recording of this video, which is version 4.0. An Entity Framework actually allows us to develop using three different paradigms, which we're going to look at before going into the code of the application. The first paradigm is called Design First, then we have Database First, and finally we have Code First. So let's have a look at each of these paradigms or approaches to try and understand a little bit more about them. Design First means that the developer of the web application is going to be using Visual Studio to design a entity relationship diagram, which is going to be defining all of the entities that are needed for the application to function, the properties for those entities, as well as the relationships between those entities. Following this, the developer of the application would then use Entity Framework to generate the C# classes that represent these entities in code, as well as the database table structure that and the relationships between tables that would allow the C# classes to store information in the database and retrieve it back from the database. Database First is a second approach in which an already existing database design is used to extract the entity relationship diagram, and then Entity Framework is used to generate the C# classes to represent the entities in the entity relationship diagram. This is an approach that is tailored to the traditional way of designing data-driven applications where the developer would first design a database, then normalize it, and then based on the resulting table structure, design the classes needed to be able to actually retrieve information from the database and display it through the web interface. The last approach, which is the one that we're going to be using throughout this tutorial, is Code First. Code First is the inverse of the database first approach, in which the developer of the application starts out by building C# classes in Visual Studio to represent the entities, and then codes out the relationship between these classes, following which the developer uses Entity Framework to go ahead and create the table structure in the database and the relationships between the tables to represent the entities in the database and be able to pull data out and store data back into the database. So without further ado, let's go ahead and look at building POCO classes for our ASP.NET Web Forms 4.5 application, and POCO stands for Plain Old C# Object. So I'm going to be jumping back into my development environment where I have already fired up Visual Studio and have opened the application where we last left off. And what I'd first like to do to start constructing the object model is to add a folder in my application, and I'm going to call this folder BLL, for short for Business Logic Layer. And then inside that folder I'm going to be adding one more folder, which is going to be called Model, and all of my model classes are going to be inside this folder. Now the model classes are very, very simple classes, as you will see. I could code them out directly, but for purposes of speed I'm just going to go ahead and bring them in from files that I've already coded prior to the recording of this video and are on disk. So I have three classes that I brought in. The first one is toy category, and in my web application I would like to build an online store, and this online store is obviously going to have different categories to contain the different sorts of toys that I would like to be selling. So the toy category class is going to be representing a toy, a category entity, and as you can see it has a set of properties of different types. So the first one is of type integer and it's called category ID. Then we have a string called name, we have a string called description, a string called short description, and a date time called last updated. And all of these categories come with a get and a set. And basically one will represent the primary key for this for the table that is going to be built in the database, and the rest are just properties which will need to display data. Last updated will be the date and time when this category object was last updated. Then I have brought in a product class, which is very similar to the toy category class. I have a primary key, which is the product ID, a property which is going to be serving as the primary key. And then I have a set of properties of type string, which are going to be containing some data. The price of the product that I'm going to be selling via the application, the units in stock, the thumbnail path, and the last updated date. And obviously a product will have one or more pictures, so I have a product picture class, and the product picture class also has a set of properties with getters and setters, a picture ID, a title, short description, a file location, a thumbnail file location. If we're using this picture as a logo picture for that particular product, a creation date, and a background color to set when we're displaying the image in the browser. Now, so far, if I build out my classes, this project is going to compile, but you will notice that I'm not doing any database-related code, and all of these classes are standalone classes which don't have any relationships between them. So the next step is to actually go ahead and code the relationships that will link my newly defined classes, and for that I'm going to go and grab a few more code snippets. And the first one is going to define a new relational property inside the toy category class. So this relational property is going to be of type iCollection of products, and this will be going to be called products, and we're going to be using this property to get a hold of the list of products which are belonging to the toy category that I currently am looking at. Then we're going to be adding two more properties to the product class. So let's grab those and insert them. So if I go to the product class, I will be adding a integer property of type category called category ID, which is going to be storing the category ID of the category that this product belongs to. So this is going to be acting just as a foreign key in the product entity table, because the category ID is serving as a product as a primary key inside the toy category table, which we're going to be building via entity framework. And we're going to have a property of type toy category, which will allow me to get a hold of the instance of the toy category object to which this product object belongs to. And finally, we're going to be adding some relational properties to the product picture class. And to the product picture class, what we'd like to add are two more properties. Just like for the product class, we will have the product ID, which is the product ID of the product class, of the product instance that this product picture belongs to. So this is going to also be serving as a foreign key. And we're going to have a property of type product, which will allow us to get a hold of the instance of the product object that this product picture object belongs to. And to complete the linking of all of my classes, I will go ahead and I will add one more property to the product class. And this property is similar to what I had in the toy category class. It's going to be an iCollection of type product picture, which is going to be returning all of the pictures which are associated with this particular product. So now I have a toy category which can contain one or more products, and each product can contain one or more pictures. And this is the way that I define these relationships, starting from code directly in my classes. So now I can build my project. You note that I still do not have any database access code yet in my solution. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to add two more classes which I've already coded out. And the first one is going to be the product context, and the second is going to be the product model initializer class. And we're going to have a look at these. So the product context class is using the system data entity namespace to pull in the entity framework objects that we're going to be using, and then it is defining a set of three properties of type DBSet, which is a collection of objects, a typed collection of objects, and we can see that I'm defining a type collection of toy categories, a type collection of product, and a type collection of product picture. And these properties are called toy category, products, and product pictures, and they all define getters and setters. Now, the product context class inherits a class called dbContext, which is an entity framework object. And basically, all of the context classes that you will be building for all of your web applications using entity framework have to inherit the dbContext class, which is a class that allows entity framework to go and target a specific database and build the necessary SQL queries to retrieve data from the database, to select data, insert, update, and delete data from that database. And the last thing I've done in my product context class is that I've modified the constructor, because the constructor was an empty constructor, and I have added the call to the base constructor, passing it a string, and the string that I'm passing into the base constructor is the name of the connection string to be used to connect to a specific database. If I don't pass a string to the base constructor, it's just going to be using the default connection string which is available in my web.config, which is not what I want. So I'm going to be passing a web sample connection string as the connection string name. And then obviously I will have to go to my web.config file and make sure that I define a connection string which is called web sample connection string. So let's just go back to the web.config file. And in the web.config, I've already added the necessary line of code to add this connection string. So as you can see, the connection string is called web sample connection string, and it points to a database which is called the web sample product store database. So the next thing to do is to go into the Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio and actually add a database which is called the same name. So I'm just going to right click on add, and then create a new database, new empty database, which is called Web Sample Product Store, and add it. Now, what you would do would be to first start with the Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio, create an empty database, then create a connection string using the Server Explorer in Microsoft Visual Studio by adding a new connection, and then allowing Visual Studio to build out that connection string for you to the database you have created, then adding it to the web.config file to finally come to your product to your context class and add the line to the base constructor, instructing it to use the newly created connection string to connect to the target database. The second class that I've added is the product mode initializer class. This product mode initializer class defines two static methods, each of which returns a typed list. So I have a method which is called getCategories and a second method which is called getProducts. And the first method is just going to be building out a list of type toy category and populating it with some fictitious data and then returning the newly created list to the caller. And the same is true for the getProducts class. I'm going to be instantiating a new list of type product and then dynamically creating two new instances of type product inside and then returning the newly created list of type product to the caller. This class inherits from another entity framework class called drop create database if model changes. Basically, entity framework is able to detect model changes, and if the model has changed between database accesses, what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop the old database and recreate a new database structure in order to ensure that the database structure that I'm working with corresponds with the current model. Now, this is something that you can do very easily in development. When in production, what you would like, what I'd recommend you do is you'd go to the NuGet package manager and you'd grab a NuGet package which is called Entity Framework Migrations, which allows you a much greater control on how you'd like to modify an existing database structure in order to accommodate the changes that you've performed on the model classes and not drop the existing database to recreate it. But for development purposes, drop create database if model changes is perfect. And this drop create database if model changes class actually exposes a method called seed, which we're going to be overriding in our product model initializer. And in the override for the seed method, we're going to be calling the get categories and the get products private methods. So we're going to be getting a list of categories, toy categories, and for each category in the list, we're going to be calling the toy categories property of the context object, which is of type product context, which is passed in to the method, and we're going to be adding that category to the list of categories in the product context. The same holds true for the products. So for each product in the list of products, we're going to be adding it to the products list in the product context object, which is also going to add the categories and the products to the database, so that the next time we query the database, we're actually going to have data in the database to return and not just return empty datasets. And you'll notice that the for each statement takes in an anonymous lambda to actually populate the collection. Now, to finish hooking all of this up, the last thing I need to add is in the global AZAX file, I'm going to have to include two namespaces, and these namespaces should now be familiar. I'm obviously going to be importing system data entity, which references the entity framework objects, and then I'm going to be using the web sample BLL model namespace where I have defined all of my model classes. And then I need to add one more line of code in the application start method, which is the method that gets called every time that my application will be initialized and loaded into IIS. And you can see in here that there's already a line of code which calls auth.config.registerOpenAuth, and that's the method that actually registers the OAuth providers to allow the application to work with OAuth. And I'm going to be adding one more line of code in here to hook up the database code. And that's going to be a call to database.setInitializer of type product context, new product model initializer. So basically, I'm going to be telling Entity Framework that I wanted to use a product context class to be able to talk to my database, and I would like it to use a product model initializer to seed the database the first time I issue a call to, prior to the first time I issue a call to my database. So now, if I try to build out my project, what you're going to see is that I'm going to probably get an error. And if you get an error, the error comes from the fact that you are missing a reference to the system entity, the system data entity assembly in the framework classes, and this is normally not present when you're building a new WebForms project. So if you build, you will have an error like this, and the way to solve it is just to go and add reference and then come into the framework assemblies and make sure that the system data entity assembly is checked and added back. And this is all the code that we need to define the entities that I am going to be using with Entity Framework, the relations that are defined between these entities, the code that will go ahead and tell Entity Framework which database to target, and how to see the database. In the next video, what we'll be doing is we will be adding the code to actually query the database and display data coming from the database in the user interface.